Bibles, we would appreciate that. And when you grab your Bible, if you'll turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1. I had a small struggle inside of myself about what to preach tonight, but I think this is what the Lord wants us to do, and so we'll be obedient to that. Matthew, chapter number 1 is our text, and if you're there, you're welcome to stand if you would like as I read. Don't feel obligated to do so, but I do want to give you that opportunity. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Father, I pray that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. Use us tonight as we try to preach, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday morning, I began a new sermon series entitled The Characters of Christmas. And in our first sermon, we discussed the mother of the baby, Mary. I'm sure that you can tell from the text that I just read to you in your presence what our next Bible character will be. But in case you've not picked up on it, of course, tonight I want to deal with the character of the subject of Joseph. It is interesting that in the Scriptures there's very little said about the couple that God chose to raise their son. We read very little about Mary. You remember from last Sunday morning how we had to take pieces of Scriptures and places of Scriptures because the Bible simply does not say much about her. But if there's little said about Mary, there's even less said about Joseph. For someone to play such an important role in the life of Jesus Christ, you would think that we would read more about them or more about him. The reason that I believe that we do not read as much about Joseph as we do about Mary is because we are not given many scriptures regarding the early portion of the life of Jesus Christ. When you turn to the Gospels, you're immediately introduced with the birth of Jesus Christ. You follow Jesus from birth to around 8 years old as they take him into the temple and he is circumcised there by Simeon. You then follow him to probably somewhere around the age of 2 as he's visited by the wise men in the home in Matthew chapter number 2, I believe it is. And then you find him again at the age of 12. There, and he is talking and conversing with the scholars, with the educated. And from the age of 12, we do not read about Jesus Christ again until he is baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan at the age of 30. And if you follow those scriptures, you'll discover that Joseph is present at the birth. He is present when the wise men come. He is present at the age of 12 in the temple. But somewhere between the age of 12 and the age of 30, we cease to read about Joseph in our text. Most believe that that is because Joseph dies somewhere between the earthly life and Jesus' life between 12 and the age of 30. And because we do not we are not given many scriptures regarding those early years of the life of Jesus Christ, we also are not given many scriptures regarding the man that God chose to help raise his son by the name of Joseph. Now, while we don't know much about Joseph, there are a few things that I can, I believe, say to you tonight.
First of all, I think I could say that he was a good father and that he was a great man. It is my opinion that Joseph is one of the unsung heroes in your Bible. In fact, I'll go out on a limb right here and I will say that Joseph is one of the greatest Old Testament characters, and I mean Old Testament, he is one of the greatest Old Testament characters you will find in the entire Word of God. Now, there'll never be a Christmas play where Joseph is the central theme. There'll never be any statues built in front of buildings to Joseph. Nobody will ever write the song, "Joseph, Did You Know?" But while Joseph never gets the attention that seemingly he deserves, I believe he was an Old Testament hero of faith. Think about it with me this way, and I'll give you my thoughts for tonight, but think about it this way. We accept the fact that God in wisdom chose a godly woman whereby he would use to bring Jesus into this world. We accept that God chose a godly woman by the name of Mary. But have you ever thought that the same God in the same wisdom chose Joseph to raise his son? When the time came for the Messiah to enter this world, God chose a godly young woman and a godly young man to care for this Messiah. Well, tonight I want to take the little bit of information that we have in the Bible about Joseph and preach on that subject tonight. I want to preach on the subject of Joseph. I think that I can safely say three things about Joseph from the text we're given. Number one, I think I could say that Joseph was a loving man. Joseph was a loving man. Verse number 18 says, "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his Mary mother was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." When the story begins in Matthew chapter number 1, we are introduced to a young Jewish couple that are in a spousal period or in an engagement period, ready to be married. I mentioned a little bit of this last Sunday, so I won't say a great deal about it tonight. But in ancient Jewish customs, the engagement of a young couple began with a ketubah. A ketubah was a marriage contract. They entered into a marriage contract. A dowry was usually paid, and they entered into a marriage contract. And that contract usually began with an engagement period. And the engagement period would last somewhere around 1 year. And after the space of 1 year, there would be a ceremony that would end with the consummation of that marriage. And from that point forward, the two of them would be husband and wife. It seems that Mary and Joseph, when we find them in our text, is in the midst of this 1 year period. It is in the midst of this engagement that Joseph discovers that Mary is expecting. You can almost see the dilemma in the life of Joseph when we find him in our text. Can you imagine? I'm not sure how that Mary broke the news to Joseph. I don't know how she told him about what was going on in her life. But I can see the dilemma that he's in. And I can read in the text about the struggle that he is facing inside of him. In fact, in my mind, I can almost picture this 14, 15-year-old young man as he sits there on his bed at home and he begins to think about these things. Verse number 20. He is at home. He's on his bed. He's thinking about what he is going to do. And as he thinks about these things, he falls asleep and the angel of God appears to him in a dream that night. As I was reading this text, I said that Joseph is a loving man. I believe I could say that Joseph loved Mary. I really believe that, don't you? I believe that Joseph loved Mary. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says that He was a just man, and he was not willing to make her a public example, so he was minded to put her away privately. In this passage, we can see the way he loved Mary. When Joseph found out that Mary was carrying a child, it troubled him, and it troubled him so much that he thought about putting her away or ending their engagement. But even in this, we can see the kind of man that he was. When Mary was found with child, that had to be devastating news to Joseph. I can imagine that this young man had his whole life figured out. He had chosen his profession. He was going to be a carpenter. He had chosen his wife. He was going to marry Mary. Everything was coming together, and then everything fell apart. You say, well, Joseph should have known better. Well, you put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Everything is coming together, and then everything falls apart. In this day, when that young couple entered into that marriage contract and began that year of engagement, they were considered married from that point. They had not consummated the marriage. They were not living together, but they were still considered married. And for one of them to be unfaithful, in fact, that is the reason they had the one-year engagement, so the two of them could prove their fidelity to one another. They could prove their faithfulness. And it is in the midst of this proving period that he finds out that she is expecting, and he knows that it's not his. And when a young woman was found to be unfaithful to her wife, Jewish law said that Joseph had every right to bring Mary before the elders of the people and there have her stoned to death for her unfaithfulness. You see, it would have been a shame for the young woman he had chosen to be his bride to have a baby and it not be his. And you got to consider that shame was something that these people took very seriously. And the best way to deal with the shame in their mind, this custom, the best way to handle the shame was to get rid of the shame and have her stoned to death. But there was a second option. Moses and the law gave the people another option if the man did not want to have the woman stoned. And it was simply this. The two of them privately could write a bill of divorcement or a writing of divorcement. And Joseph is broken. Joseph is troubled. Joseph is hurt. But Joseph loves Mary. And even though he is broken and devastated and hurt, he will not let Mary be harmed. He will simply have the writing of divorcement drawn up and he will put her away privately. Loved her. I think I could say that Joseph loved Mary, but more than that, I think I'm safe in saying this: Joseph loved God. Joseph loved God. The Bible says, and I want you to notice this phrase in verse 19, it said that her husband, then Joseph, her husband, here's the phrase, being a just man. That phrase, a just man, is used actually several times in our Christmas story. The term just is used to describe Zacharias and Elizabeth. You remember them. They are that elderly, godly couple that God allowed to have a child when they were beyond the place of having a child. That child was John the Baptist. They were a good couple. They were a righteous couple. They were an upright couple that were walking in the ways of God. And the Bible says they were just. It's used again to describe the aged Simeon. You remember Simeon from our Christmas story. He is the one that was an older man just waiting to see the Messiah. And as soon as he saw the Messiah, he was ready to die. And the Bible says that Simeon was a godly man, a good man. And it says that he was a just man. So the scripture uses now the same term to describe Joseph as it did these two older saints. I believe can say Joseph loved Mary, but I believe I could say that Joseph loved God, and it was Joseph's love for God that drove his love for Mary. Joseph was able to love Mary the way he does in this story because he loved God first. It's seen in the way that he lovingly reacted to the news. Joseph does not blow up, and Joseph does not get out of control. Joseph does not call for her stoning. All of this is a great sign of love, but it is a sign that Joseph has a relationship with God, and that relationship is coming out in his life. It is seen in the way that he reacts to the news of the angel in verse number 20 and following. Joseph hears from God, and Joseph accepts that, and he moves as God tells him to move because he loved God. This is so easy to overlook. In the passage about a virgin giving birth and a Messiah being born, there are so many testimonies about Joseph and his great love for God. Think about this. Joseph's love for God is seen in his dedication to purity. When we find Mary and Joseph in this chapter, they are both holding to a high standard of purity. In fact, I think I'm okay saying it this way. They were keeping themselves pure when God came to them, not because God came to them. Do you understand the difference there? They were pure when God found them, not because God found them. Someone once wisely said, your true character is who you are when nobody else is around. It would have been easy for Mary and Joseph to get the word from heaven, you're going to bring the Messiah into this world. And for them then to say to one another, well, because God has called us to do this great thing, we must keep ourselves pure and we must be holy and we must be true. But it didn't happen that way. They had determined long before Gabriel ever showed up that they would be holy and they would be pure and they would be godly in their lives. It is seen in his dedication to purity. Joseph was protecting his character long before the angel showed up. And so many times, and I'll just say this, it's not my message for tonight, but so many times we say, well, I'll be holy when I'm around the people at church. And if God wants me to do this, then I guess I'll have to live a holy life. And when the preacher's around, I won't use the same vocabulary I use when the preacher is not around. But the reality is that if we're going to be men and women of God, we must determine in our hearts that we will be holy whether we are by ourselves or whether we are in the church, whether the preacher's around or whether the preacher's not around. Hey, whether anybody sees us or whether anybody doesn't see us, what you do in those dark hours by yourself, that is who you really are. And if you're a man or a woman of God, or yet you profess to be, then you must be that when it is just you. Because I guess the reality is that if you're saved, it's never just you. Amen? For he is that friend that sticks closer than a brother, that one that goes with us all the way, even unto the ends of the world, the one that said, I'll never leave and I'll never forsake. That means you're never by yourself. And when nobody sees, there's a God in heaven that sees. Job had no idea that God was watching him. And yet God said of Job, he is a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Mary and Joseph had no idea that there was a God in heaven that was watching their lives, about to give them the greatest miracle the world had ever known. They had no idea God was watching them, but God was watching them, and God testified, they have been holy even when they didn't know that I was watching. They were a clean couple. And you say, why would this couple live to this standard of purity? It is because Joseph loved God. You tell me what most teenage boys are thinking about and doing.
And I'll show you a teenage boy that said, I love God more than I love all of that. And I will keep myself clean. I see Joseph's love for God in his purity. I see Joseph's love for God in the way that he spoke to God and the way that God spoke to him. I'm of the opinion in verse number 20, while Joseph was thinking on these things, I'm of the opinion that he was not just thinking on these things, but he was praying about these things. In fact, I want you to see this. When the angel Gabriel comes to Joseph in this dream and says, Mary is carrying the Messiah, Joseph instantly knew what he was talking about. Gabriel did not have to give him a 30-minute, three-point sermon on with the Messiah and how the Messiah was supposed to be born. When Gabriel showed up and said, this is the Messiah, Joseph immediately said, the prophet said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with. He knew it. The angel didn't have to explain it to him. He had hid those words away in his heart. He was dedicated to God. The angel just said, this is what the prophet talked about. In fact, he says those very words. He said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet. That's what Gabriel says. And Joseph doesn't have to say, now what prophet was that? What chapter was that in again? Are you sure? Could you explain that to me? No. Joseph already knew because he'd already spent some time with God. Just the way God's talking to him and the way he's talking back to God, I can say that Joseph loved God. I can see it not only in his purity, the way they talked to each other, I can see it in the way that he obeyed God. It's in the very next verse. What is it? Verse number 21. He does not hesitate to continue his relationship with Mary. Joseph could have said, well, Gabriel, I appreciate the update. I've got a lot to think about. I'll get back to you. Give me a few days. No, that's not what he said, is it? Brother David, when the angel said, I want you to marry her. I want you to continue on. This thing is of God. Joseph's response was this. Yes, sir. This decision was going to impact very literally the rest of his life. But he heard from heaven. And he loved God so much that when God said, this is what I want, his response was nothing other than that's what I'll do. Hey, how about a group of people that love God so much that when God spoke, our immediate response was, yes, sir, I'll get right on that. Oh, yeah, you know how you are. You're better than I am. God tells you to do something, and you want to pray about it for a month and a half. You want to talk to three people about it, and you want to get a vision of some sort during the night. But Joseph, not him. God just tells you, put a little extra in the offering plate. Whew, I don't know, God. Yes, I don't. Go witness to them. Ooh, maybe I will next time we meet. I can't do that. God asks us little things and we want to debate over it. God said to Joseph, that woman you're engaged to, she's going to have a baby and it's mine. There'll be people look at you funny the rest of your life. There'll be people that whisper about you. This is the greatest undertaking probably that I've ever given to any man on the face of the planet, and I'm giving it to you. It'll change your life. And he said, okay. Joseph loved God. I see that Joseph was a loving man. Not only could I say tonight from the scriptures that Joseph was a loving man, number two, I think I could say that Joseph was a leading man. Joseph was a leading man. Can I read you a verse? You don't have to turn to it. You can write it down and read it later. You'll probably be familiar with it. It's out of Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And verse 4 says this, and Joseph, not Mary, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David. If you follow the early life of Christ, you will discover that every decision made by this family was made by Joseph. It was Joseph in Luke chapter number 2 that said, I am of the household of David. David is from Bethlehem, so I will take my family to Bethlehem for the census. God's prophet had said, in Bethlehem of Judea is where the child would be born. Do you know what it was that got the child from Nazareth to Bethlehem? It was a man by the name of Joseph that led his family into that city. I'll say it this way. Joseph led his family. He led his family. Joseph led them to Bethlehem in Luke chapter number 2. After the birth of Christ, the Bible says that approximately 2 years later, the wise men come in Matthew chapter number 2, and they visit the child. And after the wise men leave, we read in Matthew chapter 2 verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. After the death of Herod, we read in Matthew 2, verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Verse 21, and he arose. Verse number 22, and when he had heard of Alcaeus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Verse 24, and he came, that's Joseph, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth. You see, we pay so much attention to Mary, and we pay so much attention to the baby Jesus, that we failed to see that there's a man leading them every step of the way, and his name was Joseph. Joseph led them to Bethlehem. Joseph led them from Bethlehem to Egypt. He led them from Egypt into Galilee and eventually into Nazareth. Most of the time, it's just he. Not even Joseph, just he. He never got a pat on the back. He never got an attaboy. But the Bible said that God put this man in their life and he led them. Joseph led his family. But I could say this, Joseph led his family because Joseph was led by God. I'll take this a step further. Every decision was made by Joseph, and every decision was made after he spoke with God. That's right. The prayer life of Joseph led him to marry Mary. It led him to the house of God 8 days later. It led him into Egypt. It eventually led him into Nazareth. Joseph was a leader in his home because Joseph was led by God. How many times did I just read to you, and the angel of God appeared to Joseph again in a dream? Joseph is hearing from God, and Joseph is following God. I thought about something this week I guess I've never thought about before. I thought about the fact that Mary and Joseph may very well be one of the greatest illustrations in all of the Bible, And those of you who attend the marriage retreats in March, I may be going this direction in a few months. So when I do, you just pretend like you've never heard this before. But Mary and Joseph may be the greatest Bible illustration of what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter number 5, when Paul said to the wives, submit yourselves, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. And then he goes on to tell the husbands, and you husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul said the wife is to submit to the husband is to love the wife. Think about this for just a second. Mary is a beautiful picture of submission, is she not? As Joseph led the family, Mary followed every step of the way. We don't even read her name in most of these passages. We just read that God spoke to Joseph and Joseph led his family. We don't find one text where Joseph said, Mary, we need to move again. And Mary responded by arguing with him. I can't show you a passage where Mary ever decided she would be the leader in the home. Uh-oh. I know what you're thinking. This is supposed to be a Christmas message. I get it. I never see where she thought she could do better or she fought with her husband as he made decisions about her home. Ma'am, how would you like it if you just got finished unpacking the boxes and you just put all of your china away and your husband walked in and said, babe, I'm sorry, but we're moving again. What do you mean we're moving again? We just got here. No. She just said, okay. Mary could have said, I'm the one God chose to bring his son into this world. You ought to follow me. But instead, Mary just submissively followed her husband as her husband led the family. Do you know why Mary was able to submit to Joseph the way she was? Because Mary had first submitted to God in her life. That's right. You see, before she ever started being led by Joseph, she's over here and God says to her, Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. God's going to put his child inside of you. He's going to be great. He's going to be the son of the highest. Oh, it's amazing. Nothing is impossible with God, Mary. And this is what Mary responded with in Luke chapter number 1. This was her response. Let it even be so. Behold, this is what she said. She said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be so. In that phrase, behold the handmaid, the servant, behold the servant of the Lord. She just right there submitted her whole life to God. And because she was able to submit to God, she was able to submit to her husband. Isn't that good? But watch this. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 5, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Joseph lovingly led his family. Joseph led them again to Bethlehem, to Nazareth, on and on it goes. Joseph lovingly led his family. Do you know, again, point number one, if you don't know about love, go back, rewind and go back to point number one. It's all about love. Do you know why Joseph was able to lovingly lead his family? Because Joseph loved God. And Joseph was led by God. Joseph didn't get the big head. I'm in charge around here. I'm the boss of this family. You ought to do what I say. Go make me a sandwich. Joseph didn't do that. You see, Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Joseph was able to love his wife and love his family and lead his family because he's getting all his directions from God. You see, Joseph was able to lead because Joseph was submissive. He's submitting to God. Go to Egypt. Okay, I'll go to Egypt, God. He gets down to Egypt. Not many days pass. Go back to Israel. Okay, we'll go to Israel. They get into Israel. Go to Galilee. Go to Nazareth. Okay, we'll go into Nazareth. Oh, let me wrap this up and put a little bow on it and I'll move on. Ma'am, you will be able to submit to your husband when you first learn to submit to God. And sir, you cannot lead your family nor love your family correctly unless you are first led by God and fall in love with Jesus Christ. But isn't it wonderful when the husband is in love with God and he's submitting to God and he's lovingly leading his family and she is so in love with God that she's letting him lead? In fact, Paul said, when you really think about it, he said, all this is really talking about the way that Christ loved the church. And we are a beautiful picture of that. Joseph was a leading man. He led his home as God led him. Let me say this, number three, and I'll get out of here. I think Joseph was a loving man. Joseph was a leading man. Number three, Joseph was a loyal man. Joseph was a loyal man. I'll read you another verse. It's in Luke chapter number 2. Two verses, actually. It's verse number 48 and verse number 49. The Bible says, when they, and the they is Mary and Joseph, he's now 12 years old, he's in the temple, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother, and can I pause just long, this is not for the sermon, but can I pause long enough to say that the Bible is always very clear to point out the fact that Mary was the mother, but it never calls Joseph the father. Okay? And when his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with thus with us? Behold, and this, these are Mary's words now, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he, this is Jesus, said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? This is the last record that we have in the entire Word of God regarding Joseph. This is the last time you'll ever find him in your Bible. In this familiar account, Jesus is 12. Joseph and Mary and the family have been to Jerusalem for a celebration feast. They're returning back a day's journey and they realize that they have lost Jesus. They turn around, head back to Jerusalem. They find him in the temple and he's there talking with the scholars. Get this in your mind. As they approach, here is a noticeably upset husband and wife. This child is surrounded by the most influential people in the city at this time. These are the big dogs. When they get to the temple, he's surrounded by these important men. And in relief and even frustration, Mary says, your father and I have been worried sick about you. When Mary says that, Jesus replies, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? The 12-year-old Jesus. The words of Christ, let me say this, are in no way rebellious. Jesus was perfect in everything he did. Therefore, this was not a disrespect to his mother. In fact, the verse directly below that one, if you read it in your text, tells you that he was a perfect child. This reply reminded Mary and Joseph that Joseph was not his father. In my mind, I can see Joseph as he's standing there. He's nervous and relieved. When they find him, they're astonished at who he's speaking with. And then in front of all these influential men, Jesus reminds Mary and Joseph that Joseph is not his father, that God is his father. If that would have been me and I was Joseph, I might have been a little embarrassed. But I never read one verse where Joseph shows embarrassment in this situation. In fact, I don't read that Joseph protested. He accepted the words of that 12-year-old boy because he knew they were right. I believe it was in the Shakespearean play. I've quoted Shakespeare in the last two sermons. I don't know what my problem is, but it was in the Shakespearean play Hamlet that we read the words, "To thine own self be true." You've heard that, haven't you? And while Shakespeare wrote them meaning that you should be honest or truthful to yourself more than anyone else, we've taken those words to mean, look out for number one. Is that not what we think most of the time? Look out for me. Look out for old number one. But in this text, Joseph placed the will of God above his own will. My will would have been, don't embarrass me in front of all these men to let them know that my wife had a child by somebody that's not me. But Joseph never, as far as I can tell, he never thought that way. He just willingly submitted to the words of this child because he was loyal to God more than he was even loyal to himself. I'll close with this. Do you realize that Joseph never speaks one word in your Bible? I challenge you, show me one word Joseph speaks, just one. We picture Joseph speaking, so we assume he does. We can almost imagine the conversation he has with Mary when she tells him that she's expecting. We can almost hear him as the angel Gabriel talks to him, but Joseph never responds. We can listen in our mind as he pleads with the innkeeper, give us a place to stay. My wife, she's about to have a baby any moment. We can picture him as he has the young child in the carpenter's shop and as he teaches him his trade, but he fades off the scene silently with us never actually hearing him speak. But without speaking one word, Jesus influenced the life of Jesus Christ and was a great man. In fact, years later, Jesus would stand before the crowd and they would say, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" I believe there were some things about Jesus that just reminded them of Joseph. Just some of his mannerisms and his characteristics. It was Joseph's calling in life to help raise the Son of God. And when God searched for a man that would lead his son, he chose a man that was filled with love, a man that would lead his home as he was led by God, and a man that would be loyal to God above being loyal to himself. But Scott, why don't you get us a verse of a song? We'll close with a verse of a song, a moment of invitation. If somebody needs to come pray, you're welcome to do that.